Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, and Derek O'Connor. Good morning, Derek.
Hi, folks. Good morning. Bright and early today.
It certainly is. Due to work restrictions, we're getting this in early, early. But the news for the weekend, Derek, Kimmy's gave it up. He's retiring. He's putting up his feet and saying enough's enough. And it's the start of the magic roundabout, isn't it, Derek?
The merry-go-round starts now, and we have to say that Kimmy is the first one to get on the horse, or get off the horse in his case. So that means there's a vacancy at Alfa Romeo. So who do we think's going there, Glenn?
Well, the rumour so far had been that Bottas was looking to go to Alfa Romeo. Sort of sidestep, if you will. I mean, Alfa Romeo still run round at the back of the field, so it wouldn't be overly attractive for Bottas. However, Bottas has highlighted that if it's a multi-year contract, he would be interested wherever he's going, which doesn't really sound like Mercedes, because Mercedes are offering him a one year, and now he's starting to talk about a multi-year. So I think he's off to Alfa Romeo to replace Kimi Raikkonen. Who partners him? We're not too sure. Giovinazzi's been told by the team boss that he needs to prove, and this is what happened last year. He was told that he needs to prove that the seat's his and make the choice easy for Sauber / Alfa Romeo to re-sign him for the following year. But I think his time's up. I don't think he's came in and actually shown enough promise. He's scored some points and he's had some all right performances, but him and Kimi have kind of been bumped about the back of the grid on the whole. The qualifying results aren't there. We aren't seeing the George Russell level of performance out of these guys in qualifying or even in the race. No.
Giovinazzi's back to Ferrari as either reserve driver, test driver, or maybe they might enter the E thing and he might go and be their E driver or something. You know, I think he has aspirations elsewhere because he's done as he's been told and he's been a good servant for Ferrari, even if he has been running for Alfa Romeo. So I think he might just go and do a quiet little gardening job for Ferrari.
I think they've given him a chance. They've given him an opportunity. He's been there for what? This will be his third season. If he can't show the promise, then unfortunately, these teams are all looking for the next George Russell, the next Max Verstappen, the next Charles Leclerc. That's what these teams are looking for. And as it stands, unfortunately, Giovinazzi isn't it. Talking of Williams, Latifi, he's another one that isn't that driver. We've got, obviously, Mick Schumacher at Haas. He's looking to try and get his contract with Haas. But I guess if Alfa Romeo became available, that would be a good move for him. Maybe a step up the grid. But we don't know what next season's cars are actually going to be like.
I mean, Williams are talking about Albon going to them. And also Nyck de Vries could be driving for them next year. That's all assuming that George Russell picks up sticks and moves to Mercedes and Bottas moves to Alfa Romeo. So we've still got to wait for the next domino to fall. I'm sure there'll be maybe another announcement, maybe towards the end of the weekend or maybe next weekend at the next race.
As it stands, Bottas and Russell both have said that they know where they're going to be driving next season. And as I said, Bottas wants a multi-year contract, which makes it sound like whoever's going to employ him has got to be thinking like, okay, we'll give him 3 years. But the thing is, that isn't something that somebody would say that's got to stay at Mercedes. And I think it's a done deal. Common sense tells us that Russell's on his way to Mercedes. Hamilton has got his 2-year contract. Russell will maybe go there on a 3 or a 4-year contract. I would suspect they want to tie him in because he's got to be the replacement for Hamilton. And then at that point, we'll be then starting to talk about who will replace Hamilton. If Hamilton decides to hang up his racing shoes in 2 years' time, but we can't rule out the fact that he'll still stay in the sport and become another Alonso. Hamilton maybe has that hunger. However, I think Hamilton's got way more going on outside the sport that he might be not as keen to stay in the sport as Alonso is. No, that Alonso's got
I still think
else to do.
If he gets 10, he'll go. If he doesn't get 10, he'll go till he gets 10, if you follow my meaning. So he might carry on and hang about. As long as he's in a competitive car, he'll stay.
If we just look at the teams that have seats available, Williams, Mercedes and Alfa Romeo are really the three that is kind of up in the air. The rest of the teams are either A, they've got drivers signed up on contracts, or they've already announced, and in turn, even Haas and Mazepin and stuff, I think they're kind of locked in. Depending on what happens with Andretti Racing, whether they actually come to Williams, Alfa Romeo or Haas, that could maybe make a difference to the driver lineup. But at Williams, Latifi is a pay driver. They might not want to lose him. So maybe Albon will go in. Who knows? We don't know that yet at the moment. But it is one of these things that we'll just have to wait and see. As for Alfa Romeo, I think Bottas would be good going there. It keeps him in the sport because I don't think he's bad as a driver.
I think he's looking to be the number one driver as opposed to being a number two driver. And if he can go to Alfa Romeo as number one, that might make him, you know, feel better and make him perform a bit better because he can drive when he wants to. I still doubt his overtaking skills, but that's just, you know, Derek, how he's been driving the last few years.
I don't know whether it's complacency or what it is, but Bottas seems to be able to challenge Hamilton when it comes to qualifying. We've seen that quite a few times, but it's been a while that we've actually, since we've really seen that in any, maybe the odd race, but never actually over the space of three or four races where Bottas has been on pole, been on pole, been on pole. But then we see even when he is on pole, he just goes backwards in the race. And unfortunately, the field is far, far stronger this year, and Bottas is just, he's getting shown up, I think, actually. That's part of the problem.
Yes.
Derek, the track that we're at Zandvoort. Now, we were meant to be here last year, but obviously the pandemic knocked that for six. We're here now. We've got actually a circuit that's been kicking about since, 1948. We've got 72 laps. It's not the longest track in the calendar. And we've got something here that we've not seen since really Indianapolis way back. And we've got some banked bends. We've got turn 3 and turn 14 are both banked bends. Do you think that's something that should maybe be on more of your tracks? Banked bends, they can hold more speed. It's a bit more interesting.
I think it'll make it interesting. I think it'll give it a different element and it'll be something new for the drivers. Just, you know, first time having a drive on a banked track, they might find it a little bit different for them, you know, not as confident, maybe.
I mean, the thing is, Derek, turn 3 is a pretty sharp, it's not a big radius bend, but it's obviously, it's spread out a bit more, so they can take, obviously, a wee bit more speed in. But 14 is a big banked bend that brings them into the main straight, and between that banked bend and DRS on the main straight, I suspect we should see plenty of overtakes going into turn 1. However, the rest of the track does really look like follow my leader. They've got a second DRS zone between turns 10 into 11. 11's a sharp bend that they're trying to get them to stop into, and it might promote some level of overtaking. With this year's cars, I don't think so. I think really all the overtaking's got to be done into turn 1 off of the banked bend of 14. That's all I can really see for it. They have actually brought the hardest compounds because of the banking. They've brought actually the tyres that can obviously handle the banked bends and the extra stress and load that puts on the tyres. So we've got the C1, C2 and C3. And expect no rain this weekend, Derek. We might actually get to see a dry race.
I hope so, because last weekend was farcical.
I know.
I mean, you know, I know we're not going to go back over it. And it's been said everything that can be said about this race, but that was not a race last weekend.
No.
And in no way, shape or form, other than they went round in a circle. And that was it. That was your lot, you know. And I'm sorry. I feel sorry for all the people that paid good money to go and stand in that pouring rain to have cars go around behind a safety car and then declare it a race. I'm sorry. But anyway, that's my two pennies worth, and I've had it now. So
the thing is, Derek, obviously, the conditions meant that they couldn't go racing. It wasn't safe. The other option was to run it on the Monday, but then the staffing, the marshals, all these things and fans, it's just one of these things. I mean, it's the first time we've really been in that sort of situation where they've called off the entire race. In my memory, and even in Formula One history, I don't think they've had that before, where they haven't been able to actually get out there and at least put in some decent laps. But it's Spa. You know, we know the weather's going to be like that. Do we stop going to Spa? I mean, is that the option? Maybe they can move it more into the summertime and move something else. But Europe in the summertime has gotten a lot wetter than it used to be. And it's just one of these things. Unfortunately, we didn't see the performance of Max and Lewis. And we haven't seen it at all, really. I mean, the Silverstone incident, Hungary, we're still waiting to see what has developed from Mercedes and whether that car is now on par with Max, or whether Red Bull have still actually got this extra time in their back pocket, a wee bit extra downforce, that means that over the rest, the second half of the season, Hamilton is going to struggle to keep up with Max.
Yes.
The times for the weekend, we've got FP1, and that is at 10:30 to 11:30 on the Friday. FP2 is at 1400 to 1500. These are UK times, British summer times. And then Saturday, we've got practice session 3, 11 till 12, qualifying 2 till 3, and then the race on Sunday kicks off at 2 p.m, all British summer times. Hopefully we'll get a race. Dry conditions, 18 degrees on Friday, 19 on Saturday, and we're looking at 21 degrees on Sunday. We should have a dry race. Derek, this weekend, maybe we'll see Max and Lewis going head-to-head. Maybe we'll get a race out of it, possibly. But it's obviously Max's home race, and the crowd really don't like Lewis Hamilton. I expect some booing. Lewis expects some booing. But do you think it's going to fire Lewis up even more?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, he's winding up by turning up in bright orange this weekend anyway. I don't know whether you've seen the photographs of him in that jacket that sort of looks like a wide boy. You know, I shrunk five sizes. You know, honey, I shrunk the dad, you know, and as he comes. But he's going for the orange. He's gone down the McLaren route of, yes, they're all here to support us. And look, they're all waving in orange, same as me. Fashion statement, you know, from Lewis's side of the thing. Lando will be going, yeah, they're all here for me. And Max will be going, why aren't they wearing the Belgium colours? I'm Belgium. I come from Belgium, you know, and trying to alienate the people that are trying to support him, you know.
So, Derek, who else do you think is actually going to go well this weekend? Obviously, a bit disappointing for Lando last weekend and how it actually all panned out and how it finished for him. But again, the performance that he's going to pull out of that car, hopefully Danny's going to be on it as well. They've got that battle with Ferrari going on. Ferrari's planned on bringing a new engine at some point in this second half of the season. Not soon, but it could be something that makes a difference come the last three or four races.
I mean, I hope to see George Russell invigorated by his second place win in that fantastic race last weekend.
It's a podium, you know, in points, Derek. Podium in points.
When the record books are read in a few years' time and they'll forget all about this. No, it will live for many, many years. But, as you say, points are points. But hopefully it's taking some confidence from it. I mean, I know it's a bit, but he got there. He achieved it in qualifying. He, you know, if they can carry on with that sort of form, who knows, they might even get a third week with both of them with points.
There is some videos actually on YouTube that you can watch, and you can see how close it was to pretty much him taking pole, would have been his first win. And it really came down to just the very last two bends. He locked the front left and Max, his lap.
He didn't.
He just made the last two bends sweet as a nut. And unfortunately, it meant that he wound up in second. But out with that, he was ahead of Max the entire lap, and it just came down to one wee mistake at the end. Hopefully, Williams can actually sustain this performance to the end of the season, because it would be great to see, finally, the car actually doing something a bit better than finishing outside the top 10.
I actually think Frank will be rolling over in his wheelchair, because, you know, it's come good this year. And
To be fair, Frank and Claire, I think, were part of the problem. We've spoken about this before, but it's also the investment that had to come in that they couldn't seem to actually get hold of it anywhere. And this was the only way forward. It was the only thing they could do.
Yeah.
It's good to see Williams, actually, that car performing better. But again, it goes back to the reason Russell's getting this step up is because he's taking a car that, let's be honest, is 17th fastest, and he's putting it on the front row, as well as actually getting points finishes and consistently qualifying Q2 every weekend. That's what we need to see. That's why Bottas and whoever they bring in at Alfa Romeo needs to be competitive and actually show what they're worth. And the same goes for whoever comes in at Williams.
Yeah, I mean, George has put himself in the shop window, and you'd be a fool not to consider him. You know what I mean?
You'd
be more the fool not to consider him. And if there's a good enough reason, then the timing is right, that he will be driving next year in the new car, in the new type of series, driving a Mercedes, if all's fair.
Guarantee it. I'd put my mortgage on it now, Derek, I'm pretty sure. Right, folks, well, you can join us over the weekend. We've got the podcast on Saturday. We'll be out slightly later into the evening. We'll be looking at about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then you can join us after the directly after the race on Sunday, and we'll have the podcast then for the results show. Derek, that's pretty much it. You can get off to bed now.
That'll do me, pal. It is getting up for once, 1:15 in the morning, you know,
yes,
or there
true.
Or thereabouts.
True.
You know.
Well, there's nothing else for me to say except, folks, watch the race this weekend. It should be good. A nice new circuit. It's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. So you take care. Stay safe. Bye for now.
This has been a Beardy Cat production for DNF1.